you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
So last week, we started what was supposed to be a one, this never works for me, supposed to be a single standalone teaching. It's going to be a series. So as I was talking last week, we were talking about the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is such an important thing for us to know. He doesn't change. I mean, everything changes. And sometimes we're glad for change. A lot of times we aren't. And it's always been a huge comfort to me to know God doesn't change. And so as we were talking about that, and I was talking about the fact that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. He's the exact image of the Father. We know the Father when we know Jesus. And we're going to just revisit that for a moment this morning. But as we were talking about that, it just really came up in my heart as I was teaching that we need to go back, we haven't done this for a long time, and just go through some of the names, the redemptive names of God that tell us who he is. And it's such a beautiful thing because God from beginning to end in our Bibles has progressively revealed himself. And then as Jesus came, we have this perfect image of who he is. But we all come into this, a lot of us, when I came into knowing the Lord, I had all kinds of misunderstandings about who he is, what he does, what he likes and doesn't like, what he, you know, I just had all kinds of misunderstandings because I didn't know the word and I didn't know Jesus. And so for many of us, you grew up in a great home, then you probably know a lot about the nature of God. But it's such an important thing for us to know who God is. And again, there's always this, there's a theology out there that I believe is really misdirected. And it's just sort of a Christian cliche. You never know what God's going to do. So let me try and balance this a little bit. God's big. How many of you get that? Okay. It's not that we know every single thing about God. It's not that there is no mystery in the Lord. Paul said that his determined purpose in life was to progressively know God better and better and better and better. And Paul obviously had a great relationship with the Lord. So there's so much of him that we will continue to know him, but that's different than having this idea that he's just unpredictable. You just never know what he's going to do. There are a whole lot of things he's told us exactly who he is. And if we know who he is, and I said this to you last week, his nature or character, his will, okay, his word, and his actions are all the same. They don't vary from one another. So that's so important because we want to know him. Jesus, one of the primary reasons that Jesus came was to show us who the Father is. So that we're not so, you know, there are all kinds of things, all kinds of messages out there about God. Some of them are great, some of them aren't. And that's not to criticize anybody or anything. We're all, you know, I always say this to people, we're all going to get our doctrine straightened out when we're standing face to face with him. There's no question about it. But to a great extent, as we know the word, believe it's the word of God, and spend time in the scripture looking at Jesus. And as we have that personal relationship with him, we can know more clearly who God is. And when I know who God is, there are a lot of things I know, well, he's not going to do that, or he wasn't involved in that, or he was involved in that because it aligns with his nature. Does that make sense to you? So we looked at that verse, Hebrews 13:8 last week. Jesus Christ the Messiah is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever to the ages. Okay, and then let me just run some of this by you for those who weren't here. We looked at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. This is from the Amplified Bible. It says, he is the sole expression of the glory of God. He's it. And Jesus, of course, is the Word. So the Word, Jesus, are one. But he's the sole expression of the glory of God. All right. So it's not just, you know, what somebody says on the radio or what we've experienced or anything. It's looking at Jesus. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. The Amplified says he is the light being. He is the outraying or radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint. The perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Okay, when we think about the nature of a thing, actually the word glory means, in many contexts, it means the divine attributes that make God God. That is his glory. That same term is used to speak of the glory of the heavens. Well, the heavens have a certain glory. They have a certain nature, and they produce something. We can talk about the glory of anything or anybody that God has created. We can look at, you know, I always like the example of horses. You watch horses run. That's what they were made for. It's obvious they were made for that. They were made to interact with human beings. There's something inside. It's a nature on the inside of them to be a certain way. And when we see those things, we recognize something in our hearts recognizes a beauty in some of those things. We recognize a beauty in creation. What's the glory? Right now we're seeing the glory of the aspen trees, right? I mean, it's something God created. I was thanking him for that yesterday. Thank you for making it like this. They could have just been green and then gray, you know, but they weren't. We have this beautiful time. We have that springtime. We have all these different things. It's the glory of God. So the glory of God is his divine nature. It is those attributes that make him who he is. And Jesus is the perfect imprint, the very image of that. In John 14:9, Jesus told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They are one. We know that Jesus said during his ministry that I only do what I see the Father doing. And I only say what I hear the Father saying. He's the exact image of the Father. In John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one. And really ticked everybody off, okay? Because and people say that Jesus didn't claim to be God, but he did. And he is. But he did. We'll look at another one a little later in another place, what he said. But so let me just give you these points, and then we will move on into some new things. If our belief about God's nature is contrary to the Word of God or what we see in Jesus, our belief about what God's like, okay, if that's contrary to the Word, or contrary to what we see in Jesus, it's our idea, our theology that needs to change. It's not God. He doesn't change to meet each generation's new expectation of who he is. He's the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So without an accurate understanding of God's nature, you're never going to have an accurate understanding of his will or his word, because God always acts according to his will. He can't lie. He can't deceive. He's not duplicitous. He doesn't say one thing and do another. He's not hypocritical. He is who he is. And again, I hope I can make this clear today. So it's like, think about your prayer life. I want to be praying things that are in line with who God is. Because if I'm praying in line with who he is, I'll be praying in line with his will and his word and his purposes in the earth. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So without an accurate understanding of God's nature, our prayers are going to be off target. Not all the time, probably, but a lot of times. We're going to be praying things that just don't line up with who he is. And I've used this example with you before. We've known people in the past who had, the one was a woman who's husband had a serious alcohol problem. And so she started praying, God, make him sick. Every time he, you know, takes a drink, make him sick. Well, God is the healer, not the sick maker. Okay. And we're going to talk about that some more. We talked about it some last week. We're going to talk about that some more. But so that wasn't, I know, but I do believe when we pray, God does look at our hearts. not just our words. I get that, okay? But still, why not have our words line up with who he is too? So there was another situation where there was a guy, again, this is always the guys, where he was very caught up in pornography. Same thing. The woman would pray, God, make him sick. Every time, well, it's just not a good way to pray. You want him to be healed. You want him to be free. You want him to be delivered from that. Absolutely. But there's a different way to pray that than God make him sick when God has said, I am the Lord who heals you. And we don't see Jesus going around making people sick. Okay. So those are, you know, just examples. But I said this to you last week. Going to say it again. If we interpret the scripture or we interpret God's nature, who he is, right? If we get our interpretation of that by looking through the lens of our circumstances or somebody else's circumstances, any circumstances, we are going to have a distorted image of who God is or a distorted image of the scripture. Instead, we need to learn how to look at our circumstances through the lens of God's word, who God is, what God has said about himself, what God has said about life. If we're looking, if we have the, and people do this all the time, probably all of us have done it sometimes. Something happens and we try and interpret what happened. We try and interpret who God is because this happened. That is backwards. We need to instead learn who God is and then look at the things that happen on earth through that. Okay, and there again, that will really guide our prayer life. Okay, so what the Lord has done, and this is what we're going to start looking at today, is I'm just going to lay a lot of foundation today, but this is what we're going to be doing. Throughout the Old Testament, the Lord revealed himself to Israel. Remember, when Israel came out of Egypt, okay, it had been 400 years. They had been in captivity in a pagan world. They knew some history, you know, they knew they descended from Abraham, from Isaac, from Jacob. It was the God of their fathers. They knew that, but they didn't know who God was. And so they didn't know him on an intimate basis at all. And so here's this God shows up, sends Moses and Aaron, begins to talk to them about delivering them from Egypt, from that bondage. And as they came out, they saw the plagues, they saw frogs, they saw boils, they saw all this stuff that was done in judgment, okay? They saw all of that. They also saw his deliverance. They saw him open the Red Sea. They saw him protect them. They saw him when they got to the Red Sea and the whole Egyptian army is coming. They saw the glory of God in physical manifestation move around behind them and stand between them and their enemies. They saw those aspects of God, but then they get out in the desert and there's no water, or they get out in the desert and they're getting hungry. They get out, they don't know who he is. They've seen all this other stuff too. So rightfully so, they were fearful at times. And so God began to introduce himself to them, and he did that through a series of what we call the redemptive names of God. And that's what we're going to start looking at. So they would be an aspect of his nature. He wouldn't say, here's what I do. He would say, here's who I am. Okay? And there's a difference, you know? We want to know who he is. Now, with one another in relationship, we get to know who the other person is. That's what a growing relationship is about. But as human beings, sometimes we act differently than our nature. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes not so good. God doesn't do that. God's the same. God can't lie. God is not he's not trying to play games with your lives. He's not a hypocrite. Okay, his actions align with his nature. All right. And so he began to teach them that. And then Jesus came along, did the same thing. He gave us a bunch of I am statements. I am the bread of life, right? I am the door. I am the shepherd. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He gave us all these I am statements. I am, not I do, I am. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. So what we want to do, and I've never taught it quite this way in this series, I want to take some of those Old Testament names. We're not going to look at all of them, but I don't think I shouldn't even say. But, you know, but we want to look at those Old Testament statements where the Father said, I am such and such. And then we want to see also how Jesus manifested that. How, what happened? How did Jesus work that out for us? That make sense to you? Does that sound good? Okay. So you can turn over to Exodus chapter 3. I don't think I told you that already. We're going to just begin here today. There are a lot of places we could start. But again, remember, when this is when they were first coming into the promised land, these people really didn't know who God is. In fact, this was even before that. This, in Exodus 3, this is when God's talking to Moses about going to Israel and saying, the Lord God wants to deliver you, the God of your fathers wants to deliver you. And so Moses and God, they have some great conversations. And in this case, beginning about verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites, and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they ask, what's his name? Okay, because the Egyptians had a whole bunch of them, and they all had names. All right. Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That was his answer. What's your name? I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Okay? I am. That's a big term in the Bible. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. So this was the answer he gave. Tell them that I am sent you. And that's why when Jesus came along and started to use that phrase about himself, it upset the Jewish leaders, because they saw, even though we don't necessarily see that in our Western understanding, they saw he's claiming to be God when he would say, I am, and then add a descriptive phrase to it. So this term, I am that I am, it declares God's absolute, independent existence. God exists in himself. He's not dependent on anybody. He's not dependent on anything for his existence. We're all created, right? We do depend on him for our existence, whether we realize it or not. God is saying, I'm not dependent on anything. I am who I am. I am who I've always been. That statement became the foundation for the name Yahweh or Jehovah that we know God by, the name that he gave to them, came out of this I am phrase. Okay, it's the absolute foundation of who he is. And then throughout the Old Testament, we're going to see he would couple that term, we just say Jehovah or we say Yahweh. Some people get really sticky about that pronunciation. But anyway, I don't think God cares as long as we know we're talking to him. Anyway, he would couple that name with a descriptive phrase about some aspect of his nature. And those became what we know as the redemptive names of God. All right. So as we look at those, we see an aspect of who God is, again, not just what he does. Now, what he does flows from that, but it's so important for us to go right to the root and see, no, this is who God is. Okay, so we want to look at a number of those and couple them with what Jesus did. So over in John, you can turn there if you want to. We're going to go back to Exodus in a minute, but John chapter 8, beginning in verse 56, Jesus was in a big conversation with the Jewish leaders, and he said to them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. They knew Jesus was saying he was God. He was making himself equal with God. So if anybody, and you don't have to get mad about it, but you know, a lot of people believe Jesus never claimed to be God. He did over and over and over. And you can see where Jesus claims to be God because they tried to stone him. Okay, they, you know, it was a big deal. That's when somebody tries to stone you, that is an indication that they're having an issue with what you've just said. Okay, so Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He took that title. All right, so let's go over to Exodus chapter 15. We're just going to start this today. And I just felt, we talked about this quite a bit last week, but I really felt like we should start. This is not the first redemptive name that God gave, but I felt like we should. We're not taking these in any particular order. I want to start with the name Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord God who heals. Okay, so in Exodus chapter 15, in verse 26, it's up there on your screen, it says, now remember, this is Old Testament. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, look at what he says. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. Why? Because I am the Lord who heals you. Okay, so again, they didn't know much about God, but what they had seen, they had seen his deliverance, they had seen his protection, and they had seen his judgment. And so he had to come to them and say, I won't put any of those things. What were those things? I won't put any of the diseases that I have brought on the Egyptians. I won't put those on you. What were those things? They were judgment, okay? They were because of his wrath. They were judgment. The Egyptians, Pharaoh, was refusing to obey God, refusing to let his people go. And so he brought judgment after judgment after judgment after judgment on them. And God is saying, that's not how our relationship works, Israel. I won't be, just because you saw those things, you saw me do those things, he said, I want to tell you who I am. I am the Lord who heals you. Okay, does that make sense to you? All right, so this is an I am. I am the Lord who heals you. Okay, now remember, again, we always want to read the Old Testament through a New Testament lens. In the Old Testament, we saw sin, judgment, sin, judgment, sin, judgment. The one thing I will put into that, and we're going to discuss sometime in the next couple of weeks, still, even in the Old Testament, that's pretty much what we see. Sin, judgment, sin, judgment. Why? Because Jesus hadn't come. There was no provision of grace. There was no provision to stand between. However, there was mercy. And God says over in Exodus 33 that that mercy, and I'm not going to go there because we need to study that passage on its own. He says in Exodus 33, he extends mercy to thousands of generations. Okay, and so mercy allows for repentance. Mercy stands between, even in the Old Testament, between sin and judgment. It allows a space for repentance so that judgment doesn't have to fall. What does that tell us? Tell us God wants mercy. He wants grace, but he is also just. And so if there is no repentance, then yes, there are consequences for sin. There are consequences for sin in the earth, but there are eternal consequences for sin also. Okay, and I never want us to misunderstand that. We talk a lot about we don't want to be, you know, how the wages of sin is death, and we experience a lot of that here, you know, just decay, destruction, just bad things that come if we choose to live a life of disobedience to God. We talk about that, but I didn't even know this. There are some streams right now that are saying, well, that's all there is. That's what hell is whatever you produce in your life. No, no, no. Hell's a different thing, okay? But there are consequences for sin on the earth, but there are also eternal consequences, okay? But even under the old covenant, before Jesus came, there was mercy, and it's a part of God's nature. It was the characteristic that stood between sin and judgment, okay? But for us, okay, we read that verse. I won't put any of these things on you that I put on the Egyptians. where do we stand? We live, Hebrews tells us, under a better covenant with better promises. Here's a real key to all this. We've known people, we've had good friends that were really, they were fearful. They were caught up in, they saw a huge difference between the God of the Old Testament and Jesus. They thought they were different. Jesus is merciful. God of the Old Testament wasn't merciful. In most cases, we're just misunderstanding what was going on there. It isn't God that changed. It's the covenant that changed. Thank God. It's the covenant between God and man. It's the blood of Jesus. We don't have a clue as to what it is, even when we're not Christians. We don't have a clue what it would be like to live before the cross spiritually. But it's not God. God and Jesus, they're the same, okay? But the covenant changed. Thank God. Jesus introduced a new covenant in his blood, and we get to live under it. So what we saw him putting on the Egyptians, what we saw in all those judgments, okay, that was the wrath of God in manifestation for sin. Okay, is this making sense to you? You still with me? Okay, so get this. That was the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, well, actually, this is probably just verse 9, God did not appoint us to wrath. God did not appoint or ordain us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I see God, you know, I see the God of the Old Testament and he does these things, but you, believer, washed in the blood of Christ, you are not ordained to the wrath of God. And we can all say, thank God, okay? We get, in Jesus, we get what we don't deserve, okay? We get what he deserves. And all we can do is say, thank God, okay? Another one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. He's talking to them, and anyway, he's telling them to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. There's still wrath coming later. We love where we live now. We live in this age of grace. I mean, a lot of theologians call it the age of grace, the church age, the age of grace. God has made, provided a forgiveness for sin, and he's overlooked sin, and everything in this age is about drawing people to himself so they can be delivered from sin and not experience his wrath. And we need to take hold of that. This is God's desire for us. It is Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Okay, so all the things that we can put under wrath or judgment, Jesus took our judgment. Again, I hope I'm making this clear. That doesn't mean that when we give ourselves to sin, we won't reap some negative consequences in this earth. But it means when we look at who God is and what his will is, what his desire for us is, we can't go back and say, well, he might just throw a plague on me at any minute. You know, that is not his desire, and it's not the covenant that we live under. Okay, so we can, do you see what I'm trying to do? We can pull some confidence, okay, in our relationship with God. We can start to, instead of walking around like this and being afraid of what God might do, we can begin to enter into what the Bible calls a face-to-face New Testament. The word worship is proskuneo, kissing toward. It's a face-to-face. We can lift up our heads because of what Jesus did. Okay, does that make sense to you? Okay, so we don't have to question when sickness, we're still talking about Jehovah Rapha, okay? If sickness comes into our life or somebody else's life, we don't have to stand back and go, well, maybe that's God's will for their life, okay? Lots of believers do that, okay? We don't have to question, well, maybe this is judgment on their sin. We don't have to do that, okay? And again, some sinful behaviors will lead us into sickness, but it's not the wrath of God. It's just sin produces death in the earth, you know? We live in a fallen creation. We live still in this fallen world. There's stuff out there, okay? But it's not God doing it. And that is a vital distinction for us to make, whether we're believing for ourselves or whether we're praying for somebody else. How do you pray in faith? And I said this to you last week. I don't know how anybody asks for healing in faith when they're not sure if God did it. If God did it, why are we trying to get out of it? You know, why would we want to be healed if he did it and has a purpose for it? So God introduces this back in Exodus 15, this aspect of his nature. I am the Lord God who heals, okay? That's who I am, all right? That's what he says, so that Israel can begin to interact with him around that truth instead of around confusion about who he might be. So what does this say to us? Healing, and again, this is just one topic. This is where we are. Healing is not a matter of our preferred doctrine, okay? And it's kind of become that. I mean, oh, this church teaches healing. This church doesn't. This church this church that. It's really not a matter of doctrine. It's a matter of the nature of God. He has said he's healer. So when I need healing, and we all do, okay? We all need healing from time to time. We live in a fallen planet. There are lots of questions around this, and we'll deal with some of them. We dealt with some of them last week. But let's just focus. I'm just trying to get a very foundational truth into our hearts this morning, okay? It's a matter of who God has declared himself to be. Lord, I'm coming to you because you are healer. It's who you are. Whether I receive or don't receive, whether somebody else receives, whether this happened or that happened, doesn't change the fact that God has said, I am the Lord God who heals you. Okay? And Jesus went around, what did he go around doing? Doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. We just go through his ministry. We'd never see him make a single person, not even those who opposed him. We never, ever see him make that person sick to teach him a lesson. We just don't see it. So if we're going to believe that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father, we got to deal with that. Okay? There are going to be all kinds of things we don't understand. God, why did this happen? Maybe he'll tell you. I don't get answers to very many why questions. I do get answers to who questions. I don't get that many answers to why questions. And I think sometimes we get all caught up in the whys. And what we end up doing is we make some crazy doctrine because of what we don't understand. We're trying to comfort somebody, or we don't get it. And so we just come up with something that we attribute to God that is not a part of his nature. We made a lot of really bad doctrine about God, trying to explain things that God hasn't fully explained to us. He hasn't fully explained how everything works, but we do know we're living in a fallen creation. We are redeemed. He became a curse for us so that we could live in blessing. We know those things. He is the Lord God who heals. So you gotta never let go of what you do understand over something you don't understand. It's just a mistake. It leads us down the wrong path, okay? So here's what he was saying there. Let me just give this to you. We'll unhook for today. We're going to come back, not next week because Cisco will be here, but after that we're going to come back and dive into this some more. So he said, I am Jehovah Rapha, right? I'm the Lord God, your healer. That term Rapha in the Hebrew, it means to cure, which that's a process, okay? Means to heal, which is often happens very quickly, okay? It means to repair. Think about, do you need something repaired in your body? Do you need something, another word is to mend, okay? There's one Hebrew scholars say that the word Rapha means the rapid stitcher. He stitches us back together, he does it rapidly. The rapid stitcher, okay? Just let these things soak in. It means, Rapha means to restore to health. There's another form of that word, R-O-P-H-E, Rophe, and that was the term for a doctor, okay? Someone who heals, all right? So there's no other translation of this, Rapha is used throughout the Old Testament to speak of physical healing. Okay, and what we're going to find out as we get into some other scriptures on this topic is a lot of people want to take some of them and they want to say, oh, well, that just means spiritual healing. But again, and I can't go there today, we don't have time, but if you look at Isaiah 53, where it said that Jesus carried our sickness and diseases to the cross, and then you look at Matthew chapter 8, and just begin in the beginning and go down through verse 17. We're going to do that in here. But verse after verse after verse is about Jesus healing people. And at the end of that passage in verse 17, Matthew says, this happened to fulfill what was said in Isaiah 53. All physical healings. Okay, God does heal us spiritually. That falls under 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he became sin so that we could be free from sin, so we could be his righteousness. Okay, that's the spiritual healing. This is about physical healing. Again, so, you know, we all have various experiences with this. I sure have. I mean, you know, pray for somebody and man, they get healed. It's just beautiful. It's wonderful. Pray for somebody else. It takes a long time or they don't receive it. I got to keep praying for them because I know who God is. I just got to go pray for the next one. I don't understand all of that, but I know who God is and I know who that thief is. And I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to stop doing what Jesus said to do. Okay. So this is, and I'll just give you one more and we'll quit. It's time for us to quit. Oh, we're going to quit in just a minute. Okay, Psalm 103, we quote this all the time. He is the God. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He wants us to remember his benefits. He forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. He puts those two together. He couples those two together. The forgiveness of sin. How sure are we that when we give our life to Jesus, our sin is forgiven? I hope you're sure. Okay, how sure are we that he wants to heal our diseases? God puts them together. Okay, so last statement, all right. So why is there sickness in the earth if this is who God is? Sickness and all death entered in with sin when Adam and Eve disobeyed God as the first people. They brought sin into the earth, and the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, death, meaning spiritual death, and all the miseries that flow from that came into the earth with sin. So we do still live in a fallen creation, okay? So that's why there is still sickness in the earth. But what we need to look at is, okay, but what is God's will concerning sickness? Do we see sickness and disease in the garden before the fall? Anybody know? No. Do we see Jesus in his ministry using or putting sickness and disease on people? No. Do we see sickness in the millennial reign or in heaven? Okay? No. Those are the places. I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, I see that in the Old Testament, the guys had three or four wives. So that must have been God's will. No, it wasn't. Okay, there are lots of things. We've said this so many times. There were things God allowed that he made clear were never his will. Okay? But you see it between. You don't see it in the garden. You don't see it in the ministry of Jesus. You don't see it in heaven. Okay? I look at those things and say, okay. So all this mess happens in between on the earth. That doesn't mean it's God's will. There again, look at the circumstance. Must be God's will. Yeah, right, buddy. Yeah, yeah. I've had people sit in my office and try and convince me of that. Their wife never wanted to be convinced of that. But, okay, did you get anything out of this morning? Let's stand up and pray together. Thank you, Lord. We'll go on with this. This is just good foundation for us, all right? Father, I want to thank you for everything you've done in this service today. And I pray, Father, that all of us would be growing in our revelation by your Spirit of who you are, the attributes of your nature, so that, Lord, we can be grounded in who you are. And Father, where any of us have twisted any of that, or we've interpreted who you are through our circumstances. Right now, I just pray, Father, we'd repent of that. We just say, in Jesus' name, Lord, we let that go. Show us who you are. Get it deep down in our heart. Holy Spirit, just thump us with it again and again and again with your word. Show us the Father. And Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray that as a people, as a church, Lord, as we go out into the world this week, we go out grounded for as much as we know. You'll keep revealing yourself. But Lord, as much as we know now, we choose to take hold of what you have said about yourself over any other confusion that we might have. And so, Father, we go out as your people, Lord, carrying that, carrying your presence, carrying a knowledge of God, whatever extent we have today. And we trust you to keep growing that. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Okay, we're going to be dismissed. We're going to count to three. Can we count that far? And we're going to say, Jesus is Lord. We're going to declare this from our hearts. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Okay, and then we're going to be dismissed. There's a lot of goodies out there, a lot of good stuff to eat, fellowship. Please hang around, get to know some people. Okay, let's say it. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. You guys go out there and be the church. And if anybody needs prayer for anything, I'd be happy to pray for you.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.